After sermon, we will sing Psalter 200. Let us read again our sermon text again. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Dear congregation, the last word of a person's life is very important. There are many things of this world that we could talk about when you are well and when you are healthy. Some are more important and others are less important. But imagine a person says the last words of his life before one's death. Their words with the utmost importance. On this last chapter of Matthew 28, we have the very words of our Lord Jesus just before he leaves his disciples. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he is here giving his charge, command, and commission to his disciples. So many missionaries went out abroad obeying this specific call, while others may not heed to this important call. There were many more others who went out even as far as foreign lands, where they are separated from their family members and their loved ones to take up this call. Many of them did not necessarily go out for honor, wealth, or a more comfortable life. They went because the Lord said so to them. They wanted to respond to this call of missionary Jesus Christ, who was sent by his Father into this world. He himself was the missionary who came into the world to show who God is to his people as the brightness of his glory and as express image of his person. Now, Jesus is sending his disciples to all nations as missionaries so that they may also know God through Jesus Christ. The theme this morning is the great commission of the missionary, Jesus Christ. With the Lord's help, we'd like to consider 3 points in these verses. First, the great power of the one who sends them. Second, the great purpose for which they are sent. And third, the great promise to them that are sent. Jesus Christ has been resurrected from his death. He has just shown how true his gospel is by rising from the dead. He was the very first one to overcome the power of the death in the human history. The promise of sending Jesus Christ into the world to save mankind has been fulfilled through his advent. The power of the devil is now much weakened. The victory was and is the Lord's, and the victory will be the Lord's. No one who flees to Jesus Christ does not taste the condemnation due to the sins or the devil. Have you ever been asked to do something? If the person who asks you to do something with a higher position or rank, how do you feel about that task? Most probably you would try to do your best with all your efforts and your might. If that person asks you to do that, there must be a reason why. There are many noble things to do as Christians in this world. Nothing is more precious than to share the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. By this gospel, you were saved from the perishing world with your loved ones. By this gospel, we could be freed from the power of sin. By this same gospel, we could call God our Father. So no wonder that we want to share this gospel before we share any other news. If Jesus is your Savior, remember how mighty power He already used to save you. Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus has the ability to save sinners. You may be wondering why He does not just force people to believe Him to save them. I think that Jesus already knew that faith does not come to people in that way. Faith is the divine work of God within us. It has to work out through the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. That is the way God would work out His redemptive plan, even the rest of the world, the rest of the history. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Jesus has the authority to impose on the believers and the churches to obey this command. He is the head of the church. Every true Christian is a member of this body of Christ. Every minister, elder, and deacon derive their each authority from the head of the church, Jesus Christ. He rules the heaven and earth, and He is giving this commandment as the direction for all churches, whether small or great. You may be wondering how you could be doing something concerning this command for Jesus because you are limited in your various ways. You may think that you are too little or too old. You may think that you do not have enough money or you do not have enough knowledge about Jesus Christ. Maybe you are just fearful, scared to approach strangers to share this glorious gospel. But do you not acknowledge that Jesus is the King and the Savior of the entire world? The Bible even mentions that whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Matthew 10:42. This is not about our ability. It is about the authority of Jesus Christ. How much you take heed to this command that was given the last time. His name is behind it. He is the living King, so we are called to obey it. God could use the weakest means to save sinners. Psalm 8:2 says, "Out of the mouth of the babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger." Second, Jesus sends his disciples with great purpose. When Jesus asked his disciples to do something for him, it was very specific. First of all, they were asked to make disciples of all nations. It does not say that it is only for poor countries. It includes both the poor and the rich countries. Jesus came to make disciples of the people. In our text, in our Bible, the word teach is used twice, but in original Greek, the first one is rather translated meaning to make disciples of, and the second one is more to teach. And Jesus came down into the world, and Jesus spent time with his chosen disciples. It was not just imparting head knowledge like we may imagine from a lot of learning and teaching from other environments, but it is actually spending time with people by actually showing what it is like to live as Christians. In that way, the disciples followed Jesus. They are convinced that by looking at him, by seeing what he was doing, hearing what he said, they could see that God is true God. At least the disciples of Jesus would know that there is no salvation outside Jesus Christ. To see this disciple making happen, we have to also go, baptize, and teach people. The first step is to go to all nations. At some point of Christ's ministry, Jesus said, "Do not go the way of the Gentiles," Matthew 10. But now Jesus asked the disciples to go to all nations, regardless of the culture, language, and racial barrier. First of all, we should go. Jesus is not only for the Jewish people. It is true that he was born in the tradition of Jewish people. He ate Jewish food. He was educated from the tradition of Jewish people. He was born in the line of David, the king of the Old Testament. His mother was a Jewish woman through whose body he was born. Nevertheless, his message is now for everybody. Americans, Africans, Canadians, Europeans, and Asians, all these people are suffering without knowing the real truth for their lives. Jesus is the Savior of the entire world and human race. This does not mean that we should not take care of our own family, our own children, our own relatives by blood tie. If there is any priority, then the gospel must be preached and published from where we are. But what I'm saying, Jesus himself came down as a missionary. He didn't sit and wait where he used to be in heavenly glories. He came down, subjected himself to all kinds of temptations, all kinds of unhealthy environment to rescue sinners out of the miry pits. In the first century, it was a custom that there would be many masters in the area of politics, religion, or philosophy. And if there is a well-renowned teacher in the town, then people would come and make that person their teachers. But when Jesus came down, what did he do? He didn't sit and wait. The very thing he did was to go and call out those disciples one after another so that he could make disciples of them. Second, and more importantly, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is not just the Son of Man. He's not just a Jewish man in the human history, but he is the very Son of God, and he himself is God. There are some religions that deny the doctrine of Trinity. Some say Jesus is only a prophet. Others say the Holy Spirit is not God. But we should know that the abundance of the Christian fellowship with God lies with this doctrine of Trinity. The symbol of salvation by washing of water shows that we sinners now could enter into this heavenly communion with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The sinners could begin this most holy and exciting relationship with God based on the work of Jesus Christ. We are not left with our own sins and death as the consequences, but we now can be given this new status as the child of God through baptism. I'm not saying that you become the child of God as soon as you are baptized or by means of your baptism. That is an apparent heresy against which the reformers stood vehemently. But what is true is that once you are born again through the Holy Spirit from above, you enter into this eternal and living relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what is indicated by the sacrament baptism. Third, we teach them all the major doctrines of the Bible. The Bible teaches many things about life. There are all the necessary things revealed for our benefit so that we could be continually saved and live the life of the child of God. Jesus taught that we should love our enemies. Jesus taught that how we should pray. Jesus taught self-denier. If any man cometh after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And Jesus even taught with his illustrations in his behaviors once he gathered his disciples on the night before he was crucified. He washed their feet and Jesus said, "If I then have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." John 13:14. One's life is not described in one level. It has various aspects regarding it. One is born into the family. One grows up and becomes educated and begins to work. This person begins to study himself or herself in relation to the living God. Either one becomes the slave of the created things, or this person becomes the worshiper of God. At the center of one's life, there is sin problem. Once Adam and Eve fell away from the Garden of Eden and from the communion with God, they fell utterly the same way in many other crucial areas too. They could not worship God freely. Their marriage was tainted with sins. The husband and wife could not have the same fellowship as before the sin. The work was not as enjoyable as it used to be before the sin. Or evil works have been constantly produced by sinful people. For this reason, the Bible teaches first the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And then, next, it deals with all the problems and solutions about these many areas of our life. Jesus says, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. What does this mean to those who would not follow this command? Those who would not care about the name of God, and those who do not want to know what this name means. Those who do not want to hear about this gospel of Jesus Christ, and those who would never share the glorious gospel with other people. God manifested in the flesh. He came into the human race as a savior and died on the cross for the sins of the world. However, what he is and what he did not mean much to them. This Savior came, but people do not seek him. You may think that God may fulfill his purpose anyway, regardless of those who would obey or would not obey regarding this last commandment. People do not share the gospel anyway nowadays. Recent year's church survey revealed that each year, the average evangelical church led 1.7 people to Christ for each 100 people in attendance. 1.7 people in every 100 Christians. Such a low level of obedience to this command of Christ is statistically shown. This number of sharing the gospel with anybody surprises us given the urgency of this great command of Jesus Christ. People seem to be more relaxed without sharing than with sharing it with others. There was time when this gospel was not known to nations. During those days, the sins may not have been specifically mentioned and pointed out. But now, it is the days of the gospel. Sinners are asked to come to the living Savior, Jesus Christ, because of their sins. The seriousness of sin has been exhibited through the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had to be born to terminate this vicious cycle of sin. Jesus Christ had to die to pay for the price of sins against the Holy God. Jesus Christ had to be resurrected to overcome the death. Now the gospel of Jesus Christ had to be preached so that sinners could be saved by it. The most important work has been done by Jesus Christ. Now it is our turn to share this gospel. Jesus Christ gave his great command to keep to all true believers. Jesus Christ, with all his authority, is behind such purpose. He also gave his special promise to those who would promote the gospel in various ways by sending the missionaries, by participating in the mission projects locally, or by supporting morally, financially, and emotionally the missionaries that are sent. This leads to our third point, the great promise to them that are sent. The life of a missionary is not easy. It is hard to predict how it would go when people follow the voice of God. Abraham went without knowing where he was going, but he followed God with faith. Without faith, they would not know where they would be going. Without faith, it would look like it is all about their own pursuing and their own desires. But ultimately, there would be no basis for everything that they do and that they are committed to do. More importantly, the missionary life will be threatened by various factors. There would be persecutions. Jesus mentioned about this. Matthew 5:11-12, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." The haters of God's people will be constantly seeking their lives. Jesus Christ, our Lord, rose again from the dead in this chapter. But prior to that, he first had to be killed by the hands of the haters of God, the enemies of God, and the sinners. The instability and even danger seems to be great when we bring Christ's name to the people following God's command. Nevertheless, there is great promise for God's people. God's people are not wandering in this world without promise. They are not orphans left of their parents, not knowing where to go, what to do. They walk with God, as we sang this morning, "Life with God" from Psalm 73. They follow God. God has the purpose for their lives, even in the days of affliction like ours. Nothing is wasted in the lives of God's children, including the suffering, pains, tribulations, and afflictions. God promises that He would be with those who obey this great command of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Lo, I will be with you." It's not just a name that we use for Christmas. It's a name that we will remember throughout this year, every day. Whenever we obey God's call to go out and share the gospel, we are not alone in that very witnessing of Jesus Christ. He promised, and He will be there with you. In our text, there is one word repeated four times. In our English Bible, we may not see that, but verse 18, "all power," verse 19, "all nations," and verse 20, "all things," and the last one was "alway." In Greek, it's "all days." Jesus did not say He will be with you forever, but specifically all days, as we just begin our new year. Let us not forget that every single day is a day we can be with the Lord if we obey God's call. Jesus once said, "Come unto me, all ye weary and heavy laden, I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." But now Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Certainly, there is a time to gather like this to worship God and to encourage each other, to learn of this Savior. But there is time to go out with specific purpose. We could be little children in this command. But children learn by making mistakes. When they begin to learn, they will fall over many times, again and again, until they learn how to stand and how to walk on their own. And even through failures, children learn. The important thing is done. Jesus has accomplished his mission here on earth. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Meaning, somebody else has to go out in his name. The work is plenty. As we just passed this most unexpected year, 2020, and saying goodbye to it last night, and we realized that how much we need spiritual revival in our days. Somebody with zeal, somebody who understands the cause of this gospel, must go out and do the work when on the horizon of this world there seems to be no hope at all. But with the Lord, how much blessings are already promised in the gospel and also here in our text. The promise is to those who are going, not staying. Will you also go and make disciples of all nations? Let us start from where we are. All that is necessary is done by Jesus Christ. There is special promise to this command. Lo, I will be with you always. Always. That's his presence. People die, not because they don't have money, but because they don't have hope. What is true hope? As we begin our year, the only hope is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ye, therefore, and lo, I will be with you always. Amen.